continue on and move ahead and continue to serve the Lord and look to him and trust him. He says in verse 14, he says, follow peace with all men. And then it says, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So again, the only way we're going to be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face is by being holy. That's not a work that we have to do. That's a work that Christ has already done. The works that we do today on this earth is keeping a close fellowship with God and walking with him and let him conform us into his image. So the jump, if you will not be as big when we see Christ. It'll be less of a jump because we're getting closer to Christ all the time. And that's what God is doing in our lives. In verse 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And again, we need to, he says, look diligently there. And what he's talking about is we need to make an effort. It's like in Jude where it talks about contending for the faith. This is a battle. We still have the flesh. We still have the desires and wants. I don't know about you, but I still, the things I used to listen to years ago, the rock and roll music and all that stuff, they're still in the back of my mind. If I hear that song, it'll bring me back to those places and those things that I used to do. And it's right there. That's how quick it can happen. And you can start dwelling on those things and find yourself thinking wrong thoughts and being in the wrong place. It's easy. All of us have that capability because we're still in the flesh. So we have to work at this. We have to continue look to the Lord and continue to ask him for direction and strength that we don't fail of the grace of God. And then bitterness springing up, it's going to trouble many. It can destroy not just you, but your family. It can destroy a church. And it can happen real easy. And so here we see David. Let's go back to him for just a few minutes. David here, he's come to the point where he's confessed already his sin. God is blessing him. He gave him a son, Solomon. So we see that that has taken place. But the consequences of his sin are not finished. And that's the thing we need to remember. Even though God forgives us, and he does, there's always consequences. It depends on the sin. Now, we know Jesus taught if you look on a woman and lust after your heart, you commit a sin. But that is different than actual physical act, because the physical act will have greater consequences than the other. And it's the same thing with anything. You know, you can someone can actually kill somebody and be saved after the fact. Maybe they can be saved before. I don't know. It could probably happen. But the consequences are great. God can forgive that. But the consequence may be that you might give your life, whether it's lifetime in prison or actually they kill you. So the consequences of sin are something that we need to be to realize and to understand, because David's going to face that. And we mentioned that last week with his family. His family is completely destroyed because of this one moment in his life where he let down his guard and he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. So quickly go back to 2 Samuel and we'll finish this up. But so God is still blessing David, and God will bless us when we do that which is wrong, and he chastens us and we confess our sins and get back. Excuse me. But in 2 Samuel chapter 12, so we see the birth of his son, but also we see the last part here where it talks about, and Joab fought against Rabbah. Now, this is where they were doing before when David sent Uriah to the battlefront to have him killed. They were fighting these same people. And after that fact, David said, go ahead and finish this fight. And so Joab is still fighting, and he's still taking care of business as he is wont to do, as David is leading him. And then in verse 27 says, this is interesting, and Joab sent messengers to David and said, I have fought against Rabbah and have taken the city of waters. Now therefore gather the rest of the people together and camp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and be called after my name. What's this about? Well, one thing is, we remember when David went out and fought, and remember what happened to Saul. The women came back and Saul killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. Of course, it made Saul very jealous. And so maybe that's part of the thing that he's remembering. I don't know. But what he is demonstrating here because he's concerned about what people will say of who conquered what and did what, he wanted David to be in the battle at the end. He set it up. It's almost done. David just needs to come and pretty much be there. Why? So David would get the credit for that. And this is what a person that understands God's plan for their life is to do. We all have jobs or different things going on in our lives. We have somebody who's in authority over us. Well, those people in authority over us, we are supposed to make those, as Christians especially, we're really working for the Lord. We don't forget that. But those that he allows in authority over us, we're to help them so they get the credit for the things that we're doing. Not that we get the credit, but they actually do. We're trying to help them and encourage them. We're there to help them look good, if you will. If you would turn over to Ephesians real quick, and we see this principle here in Ephesians chapter 6, I believe it is. Again, Paul is writing to the church there, and he's talking about relationships. In verse 5, you can find your place there, chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6. And I think this is what Joab is illustrating in his life with bringing David to the battlefront. It says, verse 6 is, excuse me, 5. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. That's someone that's in authority over you in the flesh, okay? With fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Again, as Christians, we serve God. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And to do that is when God puts those people in our path or those that are in authority over us, we're to obey them. Now, if you're in a situation where you can't obey that authority, what should you do? Huh? Ask the Lord to rescue you. Yeah, sure. How can he rescue you? There are several things you can do. Obviously, you want to go to your boss. You want to talk to him and tell him the situation. But if he won't relent and he's forcing you to do something you know is not right, what do you have to do? What is the next step? You need to leave. You just need to leave. Because you can't serve God if someone is putting their thumb on you trying to get you to do something that goes against God. And I'm telling you, if you do that, God will provide and meet your needs, maybe in a greater way than you ever saw before. I've experienced it, and I know many in this room have as well. And God will do that if we'll just trust him in those things. Let's finish up the passage here, verse 6. It says, not with eye service as men pleasers. You ever walked into a place and the boss walks in, all the workers there, they all of a sudden got three guys sweeping? I've seen that happen. They were standing around talking with their rooms, supposed to be working. The boss walks in, so they jump up real quick. And a lot of times that what happens is something will fall off a desk or something will happen. And you know something's not right. It's like when you flip the lights on, you see the roaches or the rats, you know. Same thing here. These folks will jump up and start working. But that's what he's saying. We don't do it that way. If we're given a task, we do the task, whether the boss is there or not, okay? And he says, but as the servants of Christ, again, God knows, he sees all things, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And so again, he's speaking of that very thing. So this is, in a sense, what Joab is doing. Now let's go back. We're almost done. In 2 Samuel, and we see that another illustration here, in a sense. And again, David, as he has conquered the Ammonites here. Look at verse 30. And speaking of David, it says, and this is 2 Samuel chapter 12, and he took their king's crown from off his head, the weight whereof was a talent of gold, with the precious stones, and it was set on David's head, and he brought forth the spoil of the city in great abundance. And then if you read the rest of it, basically he made them his servants. Well, you know, this is an illustration for us today. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we're kind of taking the crown off our heads of control of our life, and we're giving it to the Lord. And now we're no longer servants of the world, the devil, and our own desires, but we become the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an illustration here you can see. Now, literally, it's talking about David taking a physical crown off the physical king there and making the people servants. But the illustration is valid for us today. When I got saved, I chose to make him the Lord of my life by accepting him as my Savior. And I, in my heart, said, I'll live the rest of my life for you. Now, have I been perfect in that? No way. Not. Still working on that. But what I have chosen to do and strive to do is to make him Lord of my life and not me. You think of the heart picture. Some people have saw that. And there's a throne in the middle of the heart. And, you know, a lot of times Christians will take that throne or that in that heart picture and they sit on that because they want to do what they want to do, live how they want to live, and don't want to really be obedient to Christ. And what we want to learn through the principles and study of Scripture is that we don't want to be sitting on that throne anymore. We want the Lord to be on that throne and we to be serving Him. Anybody have any thoughts about David's life up to this point or anything that... maybe the Lord will share with you. That's right. Absolutely. That's good. Yeah. Very good. Anybody else? Thoughts? All right. Let's go ahead and pray and be dismissed. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to come to you today. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for how you guide and direct. And as we study your word, we can see things that help us, Father, to live in this world that you've called us to live in. Jesus, when he was praying, he prayed that we would not be taken out of the world, but Father, that we'd be left here to continue to do your will and continue to be the light, reflecting what you've done in our lives. And Father, I pray you continue to guide and direct in each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.